We're going to read again from the Bible, from Isaiah chapter 9. And we're going to read Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, and then we're going to read verses 6 and 7. So just reading three verses from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let's bow our heads and let's pray before we think about those words. Father, we thank you that you have spoken through prophets, through your Son, and we thank you that we can hear your words, and also we can hear you in our hearts by your Spirit. We pray that you would come and speak directly to us, help us to see and understand truth and how it applies to our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If this is your first time with us over the Christmas period, let me give you a quick overview of what we've been thinking about. You'll sort of see them on the screen on the right-hand side. We've been saying Christmas means, and then finishing that with a couple of words. So we've already seen that Christmas means great joy. So we were talking about how this great joy comes from a good news report that a Savior has been born. Someone has come to our rescue. So Christmas means great joy. We then saw how Christmas means good news for ordinary people. So the angel's announcement wasn't to religious people, it wasn't to clever people, it wasn't to powerful people. The angel's news was to ordinary people, just shepherds out on the hills looking after their sheep. And we realized that Christmas is good news for ordinary people like me and like you. And then last Sunday in the evening, we saw that Christmas means glory to God. It brings God great glory, saving sinners. Which brings us to today, and it can only mean one thing. Christmas means the wait is over. How are you at waiting? Rubbish? Yeah? We wait for all sorts of things, don't we? Holidays, a bus, a baby, presents, exam results. And of course, we wait for Christmas. Well, what do you do when you wait? How do you pass the time? I've brought some items here that help us wait. The first is a mobile phone. I was waiting somewhere the other day, and everyone around me was like this. And don't get me wrong, I'm all for the use of technology, but sometimes it's the use of technology for technology's sake. It's just a habit, isn't it? Got nothing to do, don't want to look like I'm on my own, quick, let's check Facebook. That's what everyone was doing around me. So that's one way of waiting, looking at our phones. Another way of waiting, perhaps we could maybe listen to some music or maybe something else. That's another way that we wait, perhaps by listening to things, music or going on our telephones. What else can we do to wait? Well, this is something last year Holly and I did. This isn't an advent candle, but we were waiting for Christmas. So every day on the run-up, we lit the candle and let it burn down a little bit. It proved to be more hassle than it was worth, I'm going to be honest, which is why we didn't have one this year. So that's just a standard candle. There's always the risk of forgetting to blow it out or realizing you're a week behind and then having to sit there for 7 days worth of burning time. So that's another way of waiting. Another way of waiting, this is something I employed recently. I was spending a few days in a hospital recently, and certain times you get kicked out of the ward, you have nothing to do. And I was driven to so much boredom, I went to the cafe or whatever and bought that, a little book of Sudoku puzzles, and filled in the first, quite a few pages of Sudoku. So that's another way of waiting. But today's the day, isn't it? I mean, we've all been waiting for Christmas since the 1st of December. Yeah, right, probably since June or May, I don't know. We've been waiting for Christmas, but officially, we've been waiting for Christmas since the beginning of December. I wonder how many tons of chocolate have been eaten from advent calendars. But today, finally, the wait is over. What strategy did you adopt to wait? Young people, perhaps you were counting the number of sleeps to go. Perhaps you filled your time playing games or maybe going to the cinema, maybe just telling yourself, it will soon be here. What about adults, older people? What do we do whilst we're waiting? Well, we're probably not quite as excited. Probably the preparation is the one thing that takes over, making sure the Brussels sprouts are peeled and everything is ready for the big day. But now the wait is over. We have finally arrived at the end of the great wait. Well, we aren't the only people who have ever waited for Christmas. In fact, mankind has always, since the very beginning, been waiting for Christmas. As you'll know, the Bible is split into two unequal parts. The Old Testament, which runs in my Bible to about, to about there. That's the Old Testament, and then that's the New Testament. And someone once said that you could describe the Old Testament as the Great Wait. The Old Testament is all promises, well, nearly all promises that God has made, and we are waiting for God to fulfill them. For those of you that don't know much about the Old Testament, the very first mention of Christmas comes just in the third chapter. Man rebelled against God, but God promised someone would come to the rescue, a hero, somebody who would liberate mankind. As we move through the Old Testament, we get to a man called Abraham, and God made some incredible promises to him, saying how he would be a great nation, he would live in a great land, and people would be blessed through him. And we know from the New Testament that Abraham knew that God wasn't meaning primarily the physical. God was meaning something more than just his physical descendants. God was meaning something more than just an actual piece of land. God's blessing was going to be far greater than that. And as we move through the Old Testament, we see whispers of a shepherd who would come to shepherd his people. Whispers of a great king who would come and sit on a throne that lasts forever. Whispers of someone that would come and substitute himself for lost mankind. Whispers of a priest who would stand between God and man. All these promises rolling on in the Old Testament, and we're waiting. We're waiting. And when we get to the end of the Old Testament, God's people had to wait 400 extra years. There was 400 years of silence where there was no other parts of the Bible added. You would think people would be desperate, wouldn't you? Desperate for the Redeemer, the Messiah, this promised one to arrive. But actually what we find is Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2 tells us that people, they were people walking in darkness. That actually they were people who were living in the land of the shadow of death. They should have been desperate for the Messiah, but actually they were in total darkness. They needed rescue. But Christmas means the wait is over. Isaiah 9, 2, the verse we just read, said, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Now, those words were written hundreds of years before Jesus was born. But because it was God's definite plan, and what God planned always happens, it was written in the past tense. It was written like it had already happened. But then on that first Christmas, God's chosen Messiah finally arrived. But he wasn't what people were expecting. Just a baby, born and put in a manger. But the promises of God are all fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what the Apostle Paul writes. "For all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus." All the promises that God has made are kept in Jesus' birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, ascension, and second coming. And what is interesting is when you get to the beginning of the New Testament and you read about the arrival of this great deliverer and redeemer, Abraham's descendants don't all of a sudden get land. They don't all of a sudden become a great nation. And that's because those things were not the primary thing that God had promised. God's promises were bigger. They were huge. They were much more bigger than a land. They were much more bigger than just a group of people. No, those who believe in God's Messiah, the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, enter God's eternal kingdom. They start to enjoy God's eternal rule. Those who believe in Jesus find forgiveness of sin and eternal blessing. Not just blessing for being in a specific place for a specific time, promises that last for all eternity. All the promises of the Old Testament are kept in Jesus. That first Christmas meant the wait was over. Now let's think about us. How often do we spend time wishing our lives away? Have you ever thought about this? When you're at school, you cannot wait for the summer holidays. When you get older, you cannot wait to be able to drive. Then you cannot wait to be able to get a job, to be able to afford the insurance. Then you can't wait to be on holiday from your job. And then you can't wait to get married and have children. Then you can't wait to get your sleep back. Then you can't wait until Christmas. Then you can't wait till you retire. Then you can't wait till you have time to see the grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And then you can't wait until... Sorry, time's up. That always looking forward for the next big thing, that next buzz, the countdown to Christmas, the countdown to retirement, the countdown to whatever, is based on a general discontentment that we all have. See, when we're younger, we're fooled into thinking that perhaps getting a load of toys at Christmas will satisfy us for the rest of our lives. When we get older, we get a bit smarter, but a bit dumber, because we realize Christmas won't do it, but we think our job will, or our car will, or our house will. You must have heard in the news that Mark Zuckerberg, that's the inventor or creator of Facebook, is giving away 99% of the shares he owns in Facebook over his lifetime, and he owns all the shares in Facebook, and Facebook apparently is worth £30 billion. And Mark Zuckerberg is giving away all that money. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? Because what are most people waiting for? Most people are waiting to be like Mark Zuckerberg. They think people like Mark Zuckerberg are content. Well, apparently not, because he's giving it all away. Recently, in an article, Mark Zuckerberg said that barely a day passes without him reflecting on what the meaning of life is. What does that mean? It means he has £30 billion but doesn't have a clue what life is about. Right through life, we're trying to find contentment. We're often waiting for the next big thing that will bring it. But actually, Christmas means the wait is over, not because of the toys, but actually the wait is over for us trying to find contentment. Because when we come to the Redeemer, the Deliverer, when we come to the one who comes to fix all our problems, then actually life begins to make sense. To celebrate Christmas without celebrating Jesus is to celebrate nothing. You ever thought about that? Why do people give gifts? Why do people meet as families? People who have no reference to God in their life, why are they doing what they're doing today? Christmas means nothing if it's not about Jesus. And Christmas means the celebration can now really begin. See, celebration for Christmas for Christians means the celebration is real. We really look forward to Christmas because it reminds us again the fact that Jesus came. For those who are in darkness, a light has dawned. We're excited today because we remember this baby became the one who died on the cross, defeating death, who rose victorious. My challenge for you this morning is this. If this Christmas time, Jesus doesn't have his proper place in your life, then actually the wait goes on for you. See, Christmas has arrived, but you're still waiting for that thing you're trying to find. The wait will not be over until you bow the knee to King Jesus. And if you never do that, the wait will continue forever and ever. So at this Christmas time, those of us who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ can say a hearty thank you to God for the greatest gift ever, which is Himself.